Hi there, it's Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Wendy, back again. I think last week we had some problems with some of the, you know, in the audio. It was not cooperating. So you didn't miss anything. Because I can't remember. I know what I did, but, you know, it's been too long. It might have been a couple weeks ago, which is also another issue. There have been so many things going on that I just kind of wanted to add some of the things that are happening in my life. In addition to, I was starting to read the book and I thought, well, there's a point where I'll just jump in and not read the entire thing. Because I trust if you want to read it, you can pick up the parts that I'm leaving out. And in the meantime, though, there was there's been kind of a time shift. And a lot of people that I have spoken with have been talking about a common theme. That time seems to be acting differently. They are showing up early, late, looking at the clock, thinking they had more time, less time. It's there's a common theme of things not being the way we expect. You know, you expect that, oh, it feels like it's been 10 minutes. It's been 2 hours. It feels like it's 2 hours. It's been 5 minutes. When I came back, we went on a quick getaway to stay at the lake for a little bit. Came home and one of the clocks is 40 minutes fast. Now, I don't know this till the next morning when I'm going to work and I'm 40 minutes ahead, which, you know, that's great, but not for me. I'm like, now what? I'm a little too early. The other clock in the house that was off was about 5 minutes off. There hadn't been a time outage, nothing. That was the one quirky factor that two clocks were funky. No downtime, no electrical of any kind that would be obvious problem. And when I get to work, the computer is off the same way. And this is not connected to my house. It doesn't communicate. And the computer is also off by about, an hour or two. So so I have to reboot to get it to go back where it needs to be. But the theme there, and then having, the other experiences I've had, one was again in the room saying, "Hey, Wendy," and I'm thinking, okay, there's something going on. I need to be paying attention. What do I need to be paying attention to? And today for the Wendy's Coffee House, I interviewed psychic medium Bill Phillips, and in his book, The Ways That You Know Spirit Is Connecting With You. If you aren't familiar with these kinds of things, he gives some really good tips that you can tune into. One is goosebumps. Another is, you know, hearing or seeing things that remind you of somebody who is deceased or somebody significant that you were connected to. And all those things factor in. For me, these kind of things have to do with my guardians, my guides, the ones I work who are in spirit. Whether it's a nightlight energy, it's just different. This one seemed to be a little bit different. It wasn't not my normal spirit guide. And the "Hey, Wendy" thing was in the room. I heard it. The dogs and cats weren't around, so I didn't have anybody to bounce this off of to see if they were hearing it too. But what I'm leading up to is the other thing about this, the information that I got as I'm reading this other stuff, preparing to do other interviews, doing work do blogs and writing different stories and seeing all these connections and a lot of synchronicity. I'm doing an interview with somebody who does the Dolores Cannon hypnotherapy technique, quantum hypnotherapy. And it's a really, it's a little bit more free form. She's trying to get into past life information and then whatever comes up along the way from your higher self perspective. And I had an opportunity, because I'm going to interview a person who does this technique, to have a session myself. And I hadn't really planned on doing this. I really respect Dolores Cannon. I like her work. I like what she's done. I think she's tapped into a really unique aspect of consciousness that gives us a way of giving ourselves information from other levels of awareness. And I think that's fantastic. Anything that gives us a little bit more enlightenment or insight, as it were, is helpful. So I decided to do this session. Well, as the session unfolds, there are two or three things that are really interesting. One, I had planned to take, because these sessions are long. They're like, 3 to 6 hours. And three is that's it's supposed to be more. So apparently there are some out there doing three, and that's when you're clued in. Hey, it's supposed to be longer, and it's a process because you explain. Basically, you tell about yourself. That way, it gives the therapist some kind of background in case any of this comes up during the session, so you know it's present, not past. Mine was clearly something that was not in my current life. So it was easy to say whether it's past life or it's whether for me giving me a scenario that I can key into that says, okay, this is the message from this scenario, whether it's a legit past life or whether it's something that I just have a need to know at the time. And this is a storyline that will give me an insight. So with that, these little bits and pieces that came through, then I got a connect with the person, individual, essence, entity, guardian, teacher, who's trying to get my attention. Cause that was my question. Okay. What's this? Hey, Wendy, the time shifts, what's it's time. Well, what is it time? And part of it, it's time for me to start coming back out with my information that, that I channel and that I've taken away, a lot of my stuff that I used to do in that respect, because I was working on my own jobs that I'm supposed to be doing while I'm here, getting my act together, working on my P's and Q's and organizing all the ducks. So, and some days I'm better at that than others. And so doing that, though, I didn't feel the need to go out and do presentations or do readings or anything like that, because I had other stuff that was a priority. And now coming back, I've agreed to do a presentation the 25th of May, and it'll be at a local, this isn't Kansas City, that's where I am, a local presentation. And it will basically be just a really short introduction, and then say, if you're interested in a reading, that would be, also part of it, a separate, maybe 15, 20, 30 minute reading. And channeled, because that's what I do. Occasionally, that medium stuff is also part of it. It isn't something I don't call myself a medium. I call myself an intuitive. That's how I work it. Everybody has their own way of integrating and then assessing what name or label that they work under. And for me, the intuitive thing seems to work best, because the medium, what I've talked with other people who are mediums, and it's so fun to connect dots, compare notes, and find out how they work it. The challenge is that you never know who's going to show up. And sometimes the person you're reading for, if someone else shows up who actually has a greater need for the information, you'll get that person. And so the person who showed up and made the appointment and checked in and said, okay, here, I'm ready. Well, the other side wasn't connecting. The other side wasn't, they were out golfing or something. It's like, today's not your day. So that's the thing. And like when I do the experiences, the presentations and the ghost tour, the ghost dinners at Weston, it's just never a certain thing that somebody's going to show up. But it's amazing how often they do. And so when I'm there and all of a sudden there's another connection that's ready to be made, they're right there. And when I did that, a visit locally to a house that they were wondering what the paranormal activity was about. Well, the paranormal activity was why I was there, but there was an entity, somebody who was recently deceased, who wanted to make a connection. And that is really why I was called, not for the paranormal activity, because the entity didn't have anything to do with that. But that person who wanted to make themselves known to the people who were there. And so when I was able to go in and check out the space, then lo and behold, that person says, hey, by the way, can you deliver a message? And so those kinds of things I find fascinating. But I don't ever expect it. I just know that if it's time and if it's the right place and the right message, it'll come. And so with this, doing the session with the quantum hypnotherapy event, I had information that gave me some ways to connect the dots of who is trying to get my attention. And it happens to be another spirit guide. And this is one that I've worked with before in different ways. But for now, doing what I'm doing and going back out into making appearances or doing a presentation or or, and before I had even done some, you know, teaching some classes and stuff on how to do this. And for me, it's a quantum thing, just like Dolores Cannon does. It isn't linear. So you don't really know what's going to happen. You just trust that if the information is relevant, if it is important, if it's genuine, if it's the time for it to be presented, it will be available. And if not, it'll just, you know, business as usual. And so that part of these connections is really important, that it's such a novel way of working with information. And in so many ways, it doesn't have all of the drama, all of the attachments, all of the, dogma that we bring to it, the judgment. It's effervescent in a way, because what I get is usually an uplifting, positive, directed piece of intuition, information that might or might not belong to whoever shows up. If it doesn't belong to them, it may belong to somebody in their circle. And so at that time, it might not be even something that they would be aware of. But if they take notes and if they remember it, and then in the, you know, next few days, weeks, they will run into the person who needs the information, and it'll be right there, and then it'll all make sense. So a long time ago, I learned that I'm not going to know. I'll just give the information. That's all I have to do. Show up and give the information. However, before I could practice doing that, I did it for a while, but before I could really let go and return to delivering some of those messages, I had other stuff I needed to take care of, stuff I showed up here to do on my turn on this wheel, to go back and connect dots and polish up some things that I might have left undone or did not quite so well one of the times that I showed up before. So one of the fun things about this session, quantum healing hypnosis technique, is that I'm you're kind of half in and half out. And I channel anyway. So there's a thing where I have to stay in a certain state so I don't go into the channeling mode. And at least that's how I experienced it, because it's very easy for me to get into a very relaxed and comfortable state to channel. And so that also is really close to listening to my higher self, and walking that line between not going too far into the other thing and remembering I'm the one who needs the information at this moment. And so the information came, and I'm dealing with a spirit guide, and I'm standing across from this entity who's trying to get my information to me, and I'm looking at my feet and seeing chicken legs. Well, it's also part of the message, the chicken legs. And so here I'm like, whoa. And so when she's saying, well, what do you see? And I said, well, he's standing in front of me. Okay, well, look down. What are you wearing? I'm like, chicken legs, chicken feet. So after the ha, 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 thank you very much. These are the messages I get. Okay, I work with a group of jokers, and they have no problem giving me all sorts of stuff to laugh about and laugh with me. So there I am doing the chicken. And so she says, well, okay. And we're, you know, we get the information and she wants to move on. And I'm like, wait. I want to see what this chicken looks like. What kind of chicken am I? It's a colorful chicken. It's one of those heirloom chickens with the black and the rust and the little white. It's a really beautiful chicken. So I said, well, okay, I'm good with that. I'm, you know, like my little chicken feet are just fine. But there was also another message, because earlier I had been given, meditating, and had been given out of the blue, I don't remember what the prior message was, but the one that stuck with me was the peregrine falcon. And that's one when I went to Taos and was called to the church there and had that incredible experience with the luminescent painting. This is an absolutely beautiful painting of Jesus in standing on the bank, and there's water behind him. And depending on what you see and how you experience it, this thing it's holographic. And I'm glad I read some of the reviews on that, because I wasn't the only one who had a holographic experience where it comes out at you. And with me, he stepped out and he turned around. And instead of the cross behind him, the cross was in front of him. And what he said with the message had been convoluted, that the cross isn't a burden. The cross is a way shower. It's a way to show the light. And so he was showing the cross, bringing the word of the cross, the light, the truth, the way, you know, all this. And so instead of, you know, the usual picture that people see with there's a cross on the back and the misinterpretation of suffering and, you know, it had so much more to do with bringing in new information, enlightenment. And that's what it was about. That's the message I got being in that room with that cross and the picture of Jesus as it is illuminated when it's not supposed to be. They didn't supposedly have the phosphorescent paint. That wasn't something that was happening at the time. And so the artist who painted it, when he walked down to see this thing glowing and knowing he had nothing to do with it, decided maybe he could give it to a better home. And the church ended up with it. But it is a very special church. And there's a small donation to go in to see this church in New Mexico. It's Taos. And I was without any previous introduction, I had no idea it was a really famous church, the one Georgia O'Keeffe and anybody else who's really important photography and painter and will go see. I had no idea how classic and beautiful that the church was. And so when I'm there, I see that it was raining the day we showed up, which is also a blessing. And so it's raining the day we show up. I'm at the back in this parking lot that says the church is direction to the church. And I have no idea what that means. I just know, okay, the church must be further down the road because all I'm doing is staring at this big adobe building. So we go stay at the hotel. The next morning, I'm told to go at a certain time. I tell mom's with me. Mom, we need to go to this church at a certain time. And so we show up. And at that time, they're having a funeral. And I wouldn't normally attend someone else's funeral. I wouldn't do that. But today, since I had been called there and given that information, I was there and I realized that wasn't a bad thing. It was a reverential thing. It was an honoring, you know, a sacred honoring of a departure and on some other level, an arrival. So what happens during that time is the doors are closed because the church is in session. At that time, I take pictures. And it's a beautiful church. There's, you know, everything's quiet and peaceful. The flowers are blooming. It's gorgeous. What happens after that, after the funeral is over, then they prop the doors open because that particular time of the year is the one time of the year that they redo the adobe and they redo the church. They do everything, keep it in shape and go, you know, address any issues that it has. So that at that time, I couldn't have taken a picture of the doors shut. It would have had the construction stuff showing. And that was, I thought, wow, okay, so perfect timing for that. And then had the experience, one of the experiences, I've been two or three times with different experiences with that painting. And it's absolutely a wonder, a world wonder. Every time I've had something incredible happen with that painting. And so for me, it's a way of honoring and allowing and respecting the stuff that we are all part of that is greater than the whole. So, or greater than the sum of the parts, greater than the whole, because we only see a portion of the whole. So for me, it's beyond the one. It is the eternal. Language always gets tough with this because when I've had these extraordinary experiences, to put it down into bite-sized form is really difficult. It always leaves out the sparkle. So just see the glow in the background. So with the church, I come home and I'm looking at my pictures, and this is the St. Francis of Assisi church. So if you're Googling, Google it. And when I get home, the guides talk to me and they say, so you went to the church? Yeah. Yeah. What did you see? Well, I noticed there was a funeral, and so I took pictures. Yeah. Okay. You took pictures. And what were you taking pictures of? The door. It was a beautiful door. I love the doorway. It's gorgeous. I know some people who just take pictures of windows. Well, I like the door. So I took the door. And they said, and how did you take the picture of the door? I had to think about it. So I'm thinking, oh, well, I got down on my knees because that was the best way I could get the entire picture of the door in the frame. So I'm at the church right in front. It's quiet. I don't know that there were many people there except my mom and I and a few other people outside because the bulk of the information or the bulk of the action was in the church with a funeral. And they said, again, well, I'm in front of the church. I'm on my knees to take a picture of this door. All right. Did you hear yourself? Yeah. So the joke is they got me to go to a church, get on my knees, and say, thank you for letting me take the picture, because that's what I did. Thank you. Spirit has an interesting way of working with us. And when we're open to it, then we can see between the lines and understand there's always a purpose. And there may be an agenda, and there's a benefit. The benefit was, at that point, there was a gift, and it's personal. But in doing what I was called to do and inspired to do, not ordered or demanded, there's always a free will. I didn't have to go. I felt compelled, and I knew there was a reason. I knew I wouldn't know it at the time, but it was important for me to listen. And so I listened, and I went to the church, and I took the picture. And the inspiration that comes from those little exercises for me is phenomenal, because it gives me so much hope, so much heart, so much awareness that there's such an incredible thing happening here under the external, under the surface. And we only see it when we're willing to let go of what we think we should be doing and what we've been told we must do to be human, to be part of this culture, your whatever culture it happens to be normal, to be okay, to be successful. Part of it for me is I had to learn how I could be a better me by listening to things that said, try this. Go to the church. And showing up at the church. So as I'm going to the quantum healing session, I have the wrong location on my little map. It had an arrow, but the arrow was like two blocks off. I didn't know that till I'm connecting the dots. And my husband's, of course, he listened, but he didn't tell me. He's like, well, she'll find out. Okay. So instead of, let's just say 54th Street, it was supposed to be 63rd Street. All right. So in my wonder, I had seen the arrow and where the arrow was. I thought, okay, that's it. Not knowing that the streets didn't match. So as I drive up, I'm on my way and I think, uh-oh, I realize when I see the layout that this is not how it's supposed to be. Darn that arrow. And so I drive a few blocks further down thinking, well, I guess this is why I didn't understand. I should have been on 63rd. So I'm going down to there and I don't see it. So I turn, I just take a, because I'm going to go backtrack. So I didn't see the sign I was supposed to see. I backtrack, I make a left turn into this. And I'm looking at this house, a two-story house. I think, well, that'd be a really cool place to have a studio. So I turn around that house. I turn back around to make my right-hand turn. I look to the left again at the place I had just turned and not seen. And there on the side of the building is the sign that I need to see that tells me that's where I was supposed to be. So I back up the car and pull in. This is like, that's what it was like going to that church. Because the opposite side of that church is adobe. The backside is adobe. And a parking lot, gravel parking lot. So when I go around to the front the next morning after the rain is cleared, it's a beautiful day, there is the St. Francis of Assisi Church. And it looks like a church from the front. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. But I didn't know that from the back. And I had no information, no background to know that this is the typical of the architecture there. I just trusted that I needed to be there and the timing would be right. And when they told me 10 o'clock, they told me 10 o'clock because the doors were shut because the funeral was going on. And if I had known there was a funeral going on, I would not have shown up. I would have felt in self-conscious that I was wrong. So this is all about trust. Learning. Sometimes you're going to fall down and get your knees skinned and you're going to feel really, really, oh, embarrassed, incompetent, all sorts of ways of not feeling worthy. And yet, if you weren't on your knees taking a picture, because that's the best way that it was going to look with the door shut, it won't happen. But you also had to realize that somebody else wanted you to do that for a little bit of humility. That's the way it works for me. And I'm sharing it because I hope somewhere along the line, some of this might resonate for you. And maybe you'll feel more grateful or more inspired or a little more, you know, get a kick out of some of the things that happen that we don't intend that are at the same time a relief to know it's just life. It's just the way things work. Things can happen that we don't anticipate and we don't expect, and it may throw us off course, but we're really still on course because something about that unanticipated event, that unanticipated wrong turn, got us exactly where we were supposed to be at the right place and the right time. And that's what I laughed about when I showed up at the session for the quantum healing session and said, I guess I knew where I was going without knowing. And I had a little help. All right, I'm going to take a break. And what I'll do is I'll come back and give you a little piece, a little snippet of the Talking to Night Lights. So like I said, there may have been between this and the last session of that, a little in between. We'll just call it an interlude where we skip ahead. It's that time thing. And we'll be right back.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that 4-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Groban. After so many years on the stage, one of my favorite things about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. Every year, billions of pounds of excess food go to waste, while 1 in 5 children may be left not knowing where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Thankfully, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food and helps deliver it to kids in need across the country. But they can't do it alone. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to 4-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Oh, boy. So many things that I could talk about. But what I'm choosing to talk about are the things that are the most recent and the most relevant for me. Because I think that's what this is meaning. There are so many changes, so many upgrades happening at this time for people who are intuitive, for people who are sensitive, for people who are working on a different area of their consciousness that it helps for us to connect dots and to understand we aren't alone. This is something we are going through together. And somewhere in my dots will be a connection with your dots. And that's the thing that's so fascinating to me. I was telling a person that I had a dream. And the dream was it had to do with being submerged. I'm in the car. The car goes over the side of the cliff. And I have a fear of heights, which would make this kind of frightening. At the same time, I'm thinking, well, okay, we're going over the cliff. Can't fix that. Going over the cliff, hit the water. And at that time, the vehicle hits the water. I tell the person in the car with me, okay, open the door. We got to go out with a bubble. So I've got this all planned. At the same time, in the dream, I know that I'm barefoot. Oh, boy, I must have lost my shoes when we hit the water. Well, I'm sleeping barefoot, so I'm halfway registering. But I know we need to get out. And I've got the plan. I tell the person, we get out. That's it. That's the end of the dream. I tell another person that I had this dream. And she says, oh my gosh, I had that same going off the edge into the water, same dream. So we're in sync in different ways. And with that other thing, I had planned to take a boiled egg, because this is a long session, a boiled egg, which I forgot that we were out. I'd made tuna salad, chicken salad, something, and used them. I didn't leave any left over, and then forgot to make any more. And so I was going to do the boiled egg. Well, I couldn't do that. Oh, I was going to grab an apple. Okay, fine. Apple will be just fine. On the way out the door in a hurry, I just completely spaced it out. No apple, no boiled egg. Well, okay, I've got sassafras tea. I'll be fine. I've been up since 3 a.m. The session's at 10. I'll be good. I'm going to be there till what, 3, 4, 5? Well, guess what? The person has a boiled egg here. And not only is it a boiled egg, it's a colorful Easter happy dance boiled egg. Beautiful. I love it. It's a party. It's a celebratory boiled egg. And then, as I say, thank you very much. I really appreciate this. By the way, do you want an apple? I've got an apple. And I'm like, my husband is going to have a real laugh. Because he knows this whole thing of, well, didn't have the egg here, take an apple. Yeah, I'll take an apple. And so I had the boiled egg and the apple. So this person was obviously doing my thinking for me, because they'd already had something else. And so there was enough to share. And it was one of the things I wouldn't do that normally. I wouldn't ask for that. I would have felt guilty or, you know, just, hey, I'm good. I'm good. I got sassafras tea. It doesn't have caffeine, but it'll give me a little kick. It has a lovely brisk flavor to it if you've never had it. And so anyway, that was the deal. I didn't have to worry about it. Things are taken care of. So showing up at the right place at the right time and knowing that things will work out when you're doing the best that you can to fire on all the cylinders that you have been given, then things work in amazing ways that you don't anticipate, you don't expect. You benefit from the universe working with you, going in the flow instead of against the grain. So instead of projecting a lot of my stuff the way I would have done when I was younger, okay, I'm going to control this. I'm going to plan this. I'm going to map it out. It's going to happen. A, B, C, D, E. And read all the books. This is how you do this. This is how you succeed. This is how your resume must look. This is how your life plan must go. All these things are supposed to factor in. My life hasn't worked out like that. It hasn't worked out the way I thought or I planned or I was told. It's worked out completely differently. And I'm glad. I was having problems with the other. It just, none of it made sense. And it wasn't happy. Gosh, there was no time for the humor. It was so serious. And it had to be done a certain way. And the certain way didn't always jive with the way I could do anything. And so with this, it's why the Nightlights, I believe, stepped in to say, hey, by the way, what do you think about this? So when I wrote the book, Talking to Nightlights, I originally put it out self-published, the first version, right after I had written it. So it was probably about 2001. And that's when I decided I was going to get off the same, you know, the track, the career path, and go a different direction the first time. And so when I did that, I started trusting and allowing things to fall into place. Then I realized I needed to go back a few steps because I felt comfortable with that. Back a few steps and finish up some loose ends of my personal homework, my karma stuff. And that needed to be taken care of before I could go back to this. So now coming back to this, I'm reading stuff for the first time again, going, whoa, where did that come from? It's the energy, the night lights, the stuff that's here around us, quietly ticking along in perfect harmony. And we either tap into it, tune out, or fall into it, or fall out. It's here. Chapter 3, First Contact. Walk the path in fear, and fear will be your companion. To have a better companion, you must lose fear. Now, I had a lesson with that. After the book, it's only been like in the past 10 years. This book's what, 20 years, 1998. So the guys were saying you need to get past your fear, get over your fear. And I thought, well, I've dealt with that in so many different ways. But when they did the little, and all I can say, it was a mechanical voice. I don't know. It was ET, transdimensional. It was something I'm not familiar with and scared me, even though I thought that I had been beyond that. So when this mechanical voice in the side of the corner of the room says, Winnie, it's like Winnie, but it's a mechanical and it doesn't say that it can't pronounce, enunciate D, Wendy. So the thing is, what really, really hit the wrong chord was the fact that somehow it sounded so foreign to me that it immediately put me into a fight or flight. I felt myself freeze from toe to head, head to toe. And at that moment, I knew exactly what the message was in terms of getting over your fear. And they meant it as a collective, not just me, but as human nature, our fight or flight. This is what we are hardwired to do, survive. And so anything that measures a little too far outside our comfort, our awareness, our acceptable zone is immediately a fright. So it was autopilot. It kicked in. I couldn't stop it, but I did understand in that moment what the message was that that's autopilot. That's innate. It's ingrained. It's there in the programming. You have to get beyond that. So you have to constantly work on trust, on knowing there is a reason. There is a reason. What is the reason? Where's the door? Where's the light? What is this about? What am I to learn? How can I see through this? Is there a door? Is there a helper? What is this? So after that little encounter, the guides, who I do here, were laughing. And it was a couple of them laughing. Like, oh, well, what? We told you you need to work on your fear. Okay, point made. So here is what I had written back in 1998. This little thing on walk the path in fear. I didn't realize it was still with me. I was writing this good stuff. I still had to work the exercise. And the exercise is a work in progress. We seem to have a clear grasp of how to go about the task of exploring the world our eyes can see. But much of what defines our reality lies unseen, hidden, just beyond the periphery of our view. Certainly some of it is mundane, but we relegate the intriguing stuff of warp time, parallel universes, and alternate dimensions to science fiction. And there it remains, unexplored and untapped. I think that's changing. I think that's what this time thing is about. I think that's what this, hey, Wendy, revisit the message. I don't have the luxury of science to prove my experience. I do have documentation. I wrote each session down in my journal and included my reactions and feelings at the time. It's the best tool I have to illustrate the broad amount of information available through methods most of us consider to be highly unconventional, and referring to channeling. What follows is a journal of my communications with a nightlight. Although I've had to edit some of the content for clarity, I try to leave most of the channeled words intact to save the flavor of the interaction. Then I add content to explain the muddy parts, but there's still a bit of mud to work with, of course. The intent, to illustrate a process of awakening to the ability to channel by tuning into what sounds like a fractured broadcast and gradually improves with daily practice to become a clear transmission. Much like learning to play an instrument, there will be a few sour notes the first time out. We have had those. Oh, yeah, they're still there. Okay. But that makes it fun. There's never a certainty. There's always a potential. You see what happens. You exercise it. Ah, okay, this needs work. And there you go. Extra effort can be required to interpret the meaning because there are no visual cues. And the voice of the energy or energies lacks the charisma that comes through with a human personality. And bear in mind with this, there's a learning curve. When I first started communicating with the energy, the nightlight, I learned how to become more receptive to auditory stimuli, while at the same time, the energy was learning how to connect with me and teaching me how to become a better interpreter. The journal sections are from my daily entries. The entries are out of chronological order when the topic is relevant at that point in the story. So again, this is chapter 3, First Contact. Coincidentally, page 13, power number. Journal, Monday, February 16th, 1998, First Contact. Here I am, sitting in my office, watching the nightlight do its usual flicker greeting, a series of quick on and off blinks, followed by more short pops of flickering light. The successful pendulum session supported my sense that this is real. I just have to figure out what I can do to make a connection. The intensity of the light pulses shows me that the energy is mustering, that would work too. For that point, I wasn't sure what was going on. Mustering all of its energy to make a connection and to come through. And by that display, trying to encourage my endeavors at making contact. And so this thing, as I'm watching it flicker and blink, it still does that. It has not stopped. There have been a few light changes, and it has happened in different lights as well. But it has not stopped. The intensity of the light pulses show me the energy is mustering all of its resources, okay? So that's what I'm looking at, seeing something is trying to connect with me. I can't seem to figure it out. Finally, I put my hands on the keyboard, and that's when it happens. I hear words that become part of a faint conversation, and I know it is the energy speaking. I quickly begin to type before it gets too far ahead of me. And I had been automatic writing. I knew that. This I did not expect. The energy, quoting, "I am a non-corporeal being, free to go where I want, and able to connect with those who are attuned to my presence. You are not yet able to develop a one-on-one connection with me, but you can pick up what I am sending through your mind. Better than I first thought, your work. I can help you write if you want, but you have to ask me. I don't interfere with your creative process. I'm willing to enhance your ability if you so desire, and would your word enjoy doing that with you. This is a dual connection. I am limited in the amount of time I can spend because I do more than just hang out with you. But I am here when you are ready. And when you are serious about writing, I will join in. This is a project we can do together and continue when you feel the urge to create. I am part of that, a catalyst, because that is what I have done and do. I go where I'm able to contribute and look for opportunities to connect with corporeals who are in tune with my energy. You're just about there. We can get a better connection the more you develop your sense. I am able to connect now, but the line is weaker than I would like. And you will get better, less confusing information when you tune up your receiver. Meditate, as you know it, and relax to allow me to help you with your thoughts and writing. I like the style and believe a collaboration would be quite interesting. Channeled writing is what you're looking for. And it is the outlet I need to sustain my interest. You are not easily discouraged and persist in contacting and connecting with me. I believe we are on the right track. It's just a matter of deciding what to collaborate on and where to start. You will have to narrow down the topic for yourself, and I will let you know what direction I want to go with that. Ask questions if you want. Our connection is strong enough for that. Quickly, I ask my question. Why do you like to write? Now, it would have been nice if I had thought of something more profound. Not write. Communicate. It is just the form I know best, and I'm able to put my ideas into clearer focus for that. I've been reading your works and see you are good at keeping things concise. I am also concise and wish to keep that as a goal in our efforts. Too many words or ideas in one effort are confusing and can be misinterpreted. We will keep a narrow focus for the first effort and see what needs to be fine-tuned. As I am talking with you here, I see you are able to put most of what I say on the paper. I am a simple speaker and do not need use of elaborate terms to make my point. Many use big words to imply big thoughts. You will need to learn to see the humor in the little thoughts. You are running out of energy, tired, and not used to receiving information of this volume in this way. We will work on your stamina. Remember to get quiet and sit at the workstation. Yes, I am aware of that term. You are not my only pupil. We will do more when you are ready. Good night. And back to the journal. Wow. What was that? I can't believe I actually typed all that material without ever stopping to see if I was on the right keys. My typing is such that I should have been doing that because I can miss a whole lot. One easy sentence becomes convoluted. But it came through with no problems, although I did have to look up corporeal. The energy and I have different definitions of elaborate words. Corporeal is a big word for me and an unfamiliar concept. But that word is the first tangible proof I did not make up the encounter. I never used the term, and I certainly didn't know how to spell it. What euphoria! It's like nothing I've ever written. I had no idea what I would type. The words just fell onto the page like a stream of consciousness. But whose consciousness was it? I can't begin to describe how incredible this is for me. And at the same time, I know I won't breathe a word about this to anyone who might question my sanity, or even worse, try to persuade me to stop. So I call my mom. She talks me down from my cloud without discouraging my exploration. I'm a bit apprehensive about exactly what it is I'm getting myself involved in when I sit for the next session. But I'm still looking forward to it and hoping for a repeat occurrence. I have to admit, I am afraid I won't be able to do it again. Journal. Wednesday, February 18th, 1998. Sitting at the keyboard, the words from the energy start to flow. The energy. Just write and relax. You are trying too hard. We need to practice on this to get a feel for how we work together. This is not a quick fix. And you will need to make an effort to understand how you fit into the equation. I balked here at spelling the word equation, a word I never use and I'm not sure how to spell again. I want to look it up, but I put it on the page anyway. Spelling is not your strong point. I can work with that. Just know I'm here. And you need to trust that, even without the visual cue, referring to the nightlight. I was not able to make contact earlier today. Although I checked in on you, you've been asleep more than normal. I did not see you in the kitchen. Don't think about what I'm saying, just write it. Come back to it later and see what was said. This is the hard part, getting it on the paper. I need to put energy into that. This can't be a dialogue because it interferes with the transmission of thought. You need to listen and focus on what your thoughts are doing. I'm talking to you in your mind, and you must get it on paper before you try to rationalize what is being said. Don't worry. It will all become easier as we get to know each other better. This is a good way to do that. This is also a good time for me to work with you on a regular basis. If you can make it a ritual, we will be able to chart our progress from day to day. Yes, it will come faster than you can imagine. There is a definite connection with us, and I see I can improve, and you may, at some point, be able to hear me in some fashion. I cannot seem to make myself heard at this point in time. That will come. So this is part of what I was doing in 1998. And for me to go back to this and reread it after having kind of, you know, surfed through it, it's still amazing to me that I did what I did. And yet, since that time, I have become very aware that other people have done this too. And other people went through the same kind of learning curve and the same kind of epiphanies and the same kind of wow, awe that I experienced doing this. It doesn't ever count until you do it yourself. No matter how many times you hear that somebody else did it, it isn't the same until you experience it. So as I was doing this, I thought it was new. And I was surprised that it could happen to me because I hadn't been looking for it. But this is the introduction to Chapter 3 and First Contact. And it did become easier, and it has become a way of life for me, a connect that's just there. Whether it's the energy or other entities, my spirit guides, guardians, I've had connections with and hearing plant spirits, hearing other elementals, and seeing little beings that I didn't know existed since then, and having telepathic contact with others that I have no idea what they look like. I just know they've given me good information at an important time, and it played out and paid off. I'm talking about life circumstances, not winning the lottery. However, that would be nice. that's still out there. But that's part of this. And so I wanted to get into that. And then as I was doing this revisiting of all the stuff with the Talking to Nightlights and going back and having a session with a person who practices that quantum hypnotherapy technique that Dolores Cannon originated, it's like, wow, right place, right time. And this entity who is another spirit guide who said, I'm the one who said, hey, Wendy, I'm the one who changed your clock. I had a big clock changing experience in 2009 that lasted a period of months. Really, really amazing. And somebody else did things that couldn't have been done on our plane that rocked my world. And after that time, I didn't question that people like Philip K. Dick, who describes his pink light experience, or Terence McKenna, who describes all sorts of experiences akin to the pink light, or Uri Geller, who describes his contact when he was 3 years old, UFO, Whitley Strieber, who has his communion contact. I stopped questioning that because I knew if this happened in my reality, it could happen anywhere. One of those, I was told to take a certain, go to a certain place and take a direct route. And so I did it. And at one point, I stopped following the directions and took a shortcut through a parking lot I thought would get me out into the street quicker. And instead, it went into a little designated lovely area for a condo community. As I'm doing this, obviously not going the right direction, we look out, my husband's with me on the pond, and the geese are forming a question mark. Synchronized swimming question mark. And my husband, not missing a beat, says, I guess they wonder what you're doing too. I said, well, okay, I just took a little detour. If I had not taken that detour, the geese wouldn't have been swimming in a question, and I wouldn't have known that my reality was really, really, really different at that point. It affirmed that I needed to take a detour to check my marks. Maybe you need to take a detour. Maybe you don't. But trust, there is more here than meets the eye. And thank you for listening. Till next time, stay curious. You can check me out on Wendy's Coffee House, the blog spot, or here again at Conscious Living and Power Radio. See ya.